traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you from Delray Beach, Florida in South Florida. Weather's good here. We were in a great location. Where I'm located at, I'm around all different breeds of horses. I'm around racing, shows, sales, you name it. If it's in the industry, the horse industry, I'm here with it. So this is going to be a show that I'm going to tell you exactly what the International Equine is about and who I am and how we got started with it. And it's going to be an ongoing thing that we're going to be doing, hopefully for years down the road. We've had a lot of good experimental programs and test programs over the past couple of years with BBS. And it's really, really working out good for us, I think. We know where we're going and what we're doing and how we're going to do it. And here we go. My name's Scott Miller. I've been in the horse business all my life. Mostly thoroughbreds. I've traveled all over the world with the horses, racing and shipping horses and you name it. I've pretty much done it in the business. I'm a done it kind of guy. Well, long story short is that when I came onto the racetrack, my experience in the thoroughbred business was very little, if almost none. And so I started walking horses and in the barns of Dewey Smith. And that was back in late 78, 79. And I really was just intrigued by the whole thoroughbred industry. I was excited about it. I lived in New Albany, Indiana, which was right across the, we were 7 miles from Churchill Downs. So, you know, I was constantly being involved with the horses, and it was exciting. And so I got to travel with Dewey. I got to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas, to New Orleans. I ended up going down to Florida for work, Chicago, New York, California, Iowa, Indiana. You know, I kind of made the rounds when in the business. So I was always excited about going to a new place. I look forward to it because, like Derby Week, you know, it's now 10 days long and it's exciting. They got all kinds of things. And when you get a horse, you always want to try to run in the Kentucky Derby. And I've been fortunate enough to work with three or four trainers that have been in the Derbies and that have won a Derby. And so that was exciting. So I just kept feeding, you know, my desire to be in the horse business. And so in my travels, going from track to track and country to country, I had a lot of time to think. And I started thinking about the industry as a whole and what could I do to, do more in the business. And so long story short, I hot walked, I groomed, I became a liaison for the owners and the trainers from the outfits that I worked for. And whatever needed to be done, I would do. And if it was raking up, if it was mucking a stall, if it was filling the owner or the trainer's car up full of gas and washing it, driving it to the next track for him, staying late, going to the vet clinic with a horse, I did it. Whatever there was needed to be done in that barn, I would and could do. And so I kept on thinking, like, wow, you know, what can I do? I'm doing it good. I'm in good horses and good owners and good trainers, and I travel a lot, and it's like a paid vacation, you know, because when you travel with the horses. So that was exciting. But I still had an empty feeling deep down inside of me. And I needed to fulfill that feeling. And I didn't know quite how to do it. And so, like I said, in the travels, I had a lot of time to think. And so I started thinking about it. One day I had to call and make some hotel reservations for myself and grooms that were going to a track in Pennsylvania. And so I did that. And then when I got to the track there in Pennsylvania, you know, naturally you got to find a place to eat and you got to you know, do all the things that you normally would be doing, but you're at a track. And so I said, wow, I said, this is crazy. I'm spending a lot of time trying to make hotel reservations, trying to find out places to eat, places to go, things to do. And so I said, how can I help myself and help others do, you know, answer the questions that I'm asking? And so one of them was, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to build a website. This is when websites were just now starting out. I started out with GoDaddy, and it started working pretty good. You know, it was easy to navigate. I didn't know that much about, the internet. And so it was easy to navigate, and I started building a website. And so I said, now what do I put on the website? I said, well, yeah, you put horse racing on there. Then you put horse shows. Then you put horse sales. You put horse movies. Anything related to a horse, you do it. And I said, well, you know, this is going to be simple because there's plenty of material in the horse world that we can be getting on there. And so what I did is I sat down and I said, okay, let me go through the website and tell you about how this website came about. It's intv.org, and you go to it and it's got a little bit of everything on there. And so here's what my schedule runs. On Mondays, I have two programs that I update and that I really get heavily involved with. One of them is Chucker, which is about domestic and international polo. We have that. We go behind the scenes and we talk to the people that are playing polo. We talk about the owners. We talk about the polo fields across the world and how big they are, how nice they are, the fans at the polo matches. And, and we explain to you exactly how polo is played. And that's what I'm doing with the website. My website, I hope one day, will be the largest equine information website in the world. That is my goal, because if we educate the public to the equestrian industry, all breeds, all countries, all disciplines, we bring more fans and more owners and more participants into the business. And that's my goal. And so like with Chucker on Mondays, we're going to go behind the scenes and we're going to talk to polo players, owners. We're going to talk to the people that maintain the polo grounds. About all the major polo tournaments in the world. We're going to tell you any and everything about polo. We're going to tell you what a chucker is. We're going to show you how the polo mallets are made and how the polo balls, what they are made out of. You don't have to be a polo player to watch this program. You'll be able to watch it and be more informed. And a lot of people don't realize that there's polo in their area. And you can go out to it, and 9 times out of 10, polo matches are free to go to. It's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon, or you can go out on Wednesday afternoons when a lot of them have practice matches and watch them, and it's great. You can get educated. You can tailgate around the polo field. In between chuckers, you can go out, and you can stomp the divots in that the horses tear up, and you can actually participate in it, and you don't have to be an owner or a trainer or a rider. You can just be a spectator and really get involved with it. And it's really something good to get involved with. And I'll tell you one good thing that I like about it is if you need something to do, and especially like here in Florida, if we have somebody that we need to come in to visit with us and everything, and you want to take them somewhere other than going out to eat or, to the beach or, what have you, you can take them to a polo match. And you can do this in Kentucky. You can do it in New York. You can do it in California, Florida. Everybody has, polo within a driving distance of them. So that's one of the things that, I was thinking about doing, and Chucker is named comes from the individual units like a fourth quarter or first quarter, what have you, they play chuckers, and we'll explain to you what that is, and you know, all about it, and you'll have a good understanding of chucker, and then you can go out and you can watch it and you can understand and learn more about it. So that was the first step that I started doing. Then also on Mondays, we have last call. And last call is the sales part of the equine industry. We do reports on the sales from all breeds, from show horses to ponies to quarter horses, you name it. If it's a horse and they're selling it, we're going to give a report on it. And what I like about this is, again, we're going to give you the information on it, and you can go and see these sales. And there's a lot of sales that go on locally, from the small, you know, backyard sales to the big sales like at Lexington and New York and over in Europe at a company called Golf. So a lot of European horses. And again, you know, we're trying to get all this information out slow but sure. And we've done that, and I've got the website the way that I want it, and it's going to make it very interesting for you to come and look at. And it's going to make you very want to go. And if you want to go, there's a link there that you can click on, and it'll tell you where the next sale is at. And you can find one in your area and go to it. And the interesting part about the sales are, is you can go to sales. We'll take like the Fassett Tipton sales in Lexington or the Keeneland sales. You can go to Lexington, Kentucky on sale day. You can drive up there. You can pull up, park your car, and you can walk into the sales. It doesn't cost a thing. You can pick you up a sales catalog, and you can get up and close and in person with these horses. You can walk around the barns. You can look at the horses as they bring them out. You can see them going up to the arena for sale, to the sales ring, and you can watch them go through the sales. And a lot of times, people that I've sent to the sales that didn't really know anything about them, they got a book and a catalog, they call them, and they started looking through, and they'd see, like, say, number 26. He would be back in the barn, and they'd go up and watch him go through the ring and see how much they, you know, pay for him. And they started, my friend started playing a game with his wife and his kids. Well, how much is this horse going to sell for? It was so funny. They would pick a number. You know, one of the kids would say $5,000. The dad would say $1 million. The wife would say, he's not going to sell. And so, you know, they kind of made a game out of it. And then they started getting good at it. They started realizing, you know, that this was an interesting thing to do. And they would go to the sales 3 or 4 times a year. And it gives a good family outing, you know, to go to. It doesn't cost you anything to go to the sales, just to drive there and park and then go in. All the sales, they always have refreshments and food there. So, you know, that's nice. And so that's last call. And the reason I call it last call is because some of the programs that I've done in the past were actual sales, live sales. And so we got to thinking one day, you know, how are we going to do this, set this thing up? And one of the people that was working with me said, we need to figure a name for the show. And I said, let's call it Last Call. And they said, well, why did you want to call it Last Call? And I said, well, at these sales, you can bid on the internet, you can bid over the phone, and you can bid in person. And where is the last call going to come from? The internet, the phone, or in person? And that's why I called it Last Call, because the last person to bid on the horse, you know, buys the horse, and we don't know if it's going to come over the internet, phone, or in person. So that's how I named it Last Call. And so it made it really interesting, you know, to see. And just remember, you can always come to International Equine Network, the IENTV.org, and you can find out exactly, where these programs, all the programs that I have on the internet, on a website, you'll have a link, and you can find out where that program is going to be in your area. So then I kept on rolling. I said, man, I'm on a streak. Now, mind you, when I first initially did this, I was riding in the back of a Sally horse van, taking six horses up to Saratoga, New York, for the summer racing in August at Saratoga. And I'm back bouncing up and down, and I'm writing down all these notes and, you know, what could I do and how could I do it? So this is how, you know, this whole website came about and how my week goes. Okay, we've gone through Monday. Now we're on Tuesday. And by the way, most of the sales that you have, equine sales, are on Monday. They start on Monday and they'll run through the week. And so that's why we, went to Monday for last call, horse sales. And then on Tuesday, we have Quest for Equine Gold. And Quest for Equine Gold is about the show horse industry. And it's a phenomenal industry, part of the industry to go look and see. These horses, they jump a tremendous heights, 5 and 6 foot jumps, fences that they go over. You see men, women, kids, grandparents. You see everybody riding. No telling who you'll see riding. You'll see movie stars riding. You'll see athletes riding. You'll see world famous horses that have run in the Kentucky Derby and that have become show horses. And you see standard bred horses that have run all the big standard bred races all over the world showing. And just about any horse can become a show horse. It depends on, what you want to do and how hard you want to work with it. The Quest for Equine Gold, the whole goal is about getting to the Pan American Games and to get into the Olympics. And that's why we called it Quest for Equine Gold, to see who, will get the gold medal, whether it's a local show, a regional, state, national, or international show. Everybody's going for the gold medal, and that's Quest for Equine Gold. And you'll be surprised. There's a new organization. Well, it's not new. It's about 4 years old now, 5 years old. It's called Global Champions Tour. And they go to 12 different countries throughout the world, and they have a certain number of riders. It's usually about 25 that travel to all these different countries. And it's unbelievable. For example, when they're in New York City, they placed the show arena where you can see the Empire State Building and city skyline in the background. And it's unbelievable. And then the one that just always amazes me, and I just don't know how these horses adjust to it, but it's the Global Champion Tour of Miami. And they actually go to South Beach and they build an arena on the beach. So when you're sitting there and you're watching the show, whether it's on TV or IEN or, in person, the ocean is, 150 feet from you. And the horses are jumping in the arena, and it's a fantastic setting. They do the same thing. They go to Madrid, Spain, which is just a beautiful, beautiful, setting there. You name it, they go to it. There's 12 countries, and it's really worth, watching Quest for Equine Gold. And again, this is another little project that we do here, and you can come to IEN, and you can find out where local horse shows are at, and whether it's a small backyard show or, a state or a national or international championship, we have access to these different shows. And you can click onto them and find out, where they're at and, all the information you need to know about it, And again, it's free and it's great for the family. So that's good. And then on Tuesday is usually when all the results are in from the shows off of the weekend. And then we know what shows are going to be coming up the next weekend. And we kind of have a review and a preview on Quest for Equine Gold. And then another part of Tuesday is a show that we have called Zero to Ten, and it's about dressage. Dressage is a discipline that is not natural to the horse. It has to be acquired. It has to be schooled or taught to the horse. And the horses literally dance to music. And it's a beautiful sport. It's very interesting to watch. Once you start watching it, you'll be surprised at the things that are being done there, with horses. They can be thoroughbreds. They can be standardbreds. Just about any breed they have. Now they even have a dressage for the quarter horse, the Western horse. And so that's called Zero to Ten. And again, we go back and we talk to trainers and owners and riders and fans about why they like dressage. It's a difficult sport. And what a lot of people don't understand is, like in Quest for Equine Gold and Zero to Ten, it takes years. It takes years to condition and train the horses to get where they're going. That's the big thing, is getting them to where they're going. And, I tell you, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable to watch Quest for Equine Gold and Zero to Ten. And Tuesday nights are usually a slow night on TV across the country and around the world. So it'll be a good night, a good day to come and watch it. And when you see all the horses that the programs that we have, I leave them up usually for a week at a time. And you can always go back during the week and rewatch the show, because we do live and tape shows. And all the shows that we do live are archived on our website. And so, like I said, I keep them up for about a week or until the next event comes up. So that's, what we're looking at there. And then we go to Wednesday, and Wednesday is Flying Turns. Flying Turns is about the standardbred industry. And we go all over the country, all over the world, to see where the standardbred horses are running. And we see the standardbreds that are making headlines. It's just amazing how many countries have standardbred racing. It's unbelievable. And we take you behind the scenes, and especially this time of year, we have horses racing from Europe. A lot of standardbred racing coming out of Germany, France. We have racing coming out of Sweden. It's really good to watch and to see how they race the standardbreds in Europe, as well as here in the United States that we see, like the Little Brown Jug, the Hamiltonian, the Breeders' Crown races. You'll have access to all those through our website. And what I like about my website is that you don't have to know anything at all about horses. You can go in and you can click onto one of our different sections there, and that'll give you information and take you right to whatever you want to know. And if you like dressage, then, you're welcome to watch it and stay as long as you want. Won't cost you a thing, just one click and you're there. If you like a Quest for Equine Gold, or if you like The Last Call, the Stales, you have that. And it gives you something to do, You don't have to watch it for hours upon hours. You can sit there and watch it for as long as you like, and then, click and go to another one. And so we'll do that. But Flying Turns is really interesting. You'll be surprised about the standardbred industry and the sport, especially in Europe, because it's part of their lifestyle, their heritage. And it's really big in Europe, more so than it is here in the United States. So, I think you'd really like that. And all these areas that you click on, they're good for the whole family. They're good, clean programming, and it's something that the whole family can sit down and watch. And I think you'd like it. You might end up buying a horse out of the whole deal. You might have to go to Last Call and buy a horse and do that, but because you'll like it. And that's what we do here. Flying Turns, standardbreds all over the world. Then the next thing on Wednesday we come to is quarter time. And our Wednesday program set everything up for the weekend. We tell you what races are where and, you know, who's doing what. But the quarter time is set up, and it's about the AQHA. Well, I'm having a rough time today on this one because I'm so excited about the hype getting up. But it's AQHA. It's American Quarter Horse Association. And the month of October, to show you how big the quarter horse industry is it takes the whole month of October to go through all their different divisions, all their programs that they have, and everybody goes to Ohio to the American Quarter Horse Congress. And it's, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it's the real cowboys. You see barrel racing. You see reining, which where they cut cows out of the herds and show how the cowboys used to do it. They've got, you name it, it's there. It's really great. And we're really taking the Quarter Horse Congress, and we're putting something up new every day on the Quarter Horse Congress. And it's live and taped, so you'll like that. And that's quarter time. And that's on Wednesdays that we do that. And it'll tell you, like I said, any and everything that you need to know about it. And believe you me, the shows and program is a lot better than me telling you about them, because I get so excited and wound up, you know, and just, it's crazy, you know. So, and then we go to Thursdays. Thursdays we have At the Wire, and that's our thoroughbred program. In our thoroughbred program, we follow horses all around the world that are racing, like in France, in the Arc de Triomphe, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Maryland Millions that are coming up this weekend. You know, we'll have everything on there, and we'll say that a lot about what's coming up this weekend because that's what we do on the show. We inform you and give you enough heads-up time that if you'd like to go to, like the Maryland Million or the Derby that's coming up in the spring or, you know, anything like that, you know, we have it. We have it there. We have all the information that you need to see, you know, on that. And that's called At the Wire. We interview trainers and jockeys and people that run the racetracks like Churchill Downs and Pimlico and Belmont. And we give reports on that, which is really good. So I like that show because I'm a thoroughbred guy, and I really know a lot about it, and I'll be putting my two cents in worth every now and then. So that's good. And then on Thursday, we're staying with the thoroughbred theme. I've created a documentary. It's called a docu-mercial, you might say, that I'm doing for the Kentucky Derby. It's called How They Get There. And how they get there is about the Kentucky Derby and what it takes to qualify and get into the Kentucky Derby. We'll tell you about the point system. We'll tell you about the entry fees. We'll tell you about any and everything about the Kentucky Derby. And what I like about that that program is we do a lot of different things through our website. And I think you'll really find it enjoyable. And like I said, you don't have to have knowledge of the horse business to enjoy this program. It's an hour-long program that's going to be broadcast the Thursday before the Kentucky Derby. And it's really going to be interesting. And you can actually, we're actually following some horses on how they get to the Kentucky Derby. And we start out with the owner and the farm. If you want to go to the Kentucky Derby, the owner and the farm have to decide, you know, if they're going to try to run the Kentucky Derby. And what the owner and the farm and or the farm will do is they'll select a horse or a group of horses that they're going to point towards the Kentucky Derby in 2023. And I time dated myself on this one, and I shouldn't have done it, but I'm just so excited about this. The owner has to decide a lot of things. It all starts with the owner. with the owner. He selects a horse or horses that he's going to point towards the Kentucky Derby. Then he will get with the farm manager, and he will ask the farm manager, do we have any horses, two-year-old horses, that we would like to start pointing from the Derby that we bred here at the farm? And if they do, then they follow in the following footsteps. If not, then they'll have to go to the sales and buy, you know, a horse, or put together a syndicate, you know, of horses, you know, to get it to the Kentucky Derby. So we start with the owner and the farm, and then we go to the next step. The next step that we go to is selecting a trainer. You select a trainer to train your horses that you have, and I'm telling you, that's a difficult one to do, because some trainers are good with fillies, some trainers are good with colts, some trainers are good for the grass, some trainers are good for the dirt. It's hard to find a good trainer that can, you know, do a little bit of everything. And so that's another decision that the farm manager and the owner have to make, is what trainer do they select to get their horse to the Kentucky Derby. And once they sit down with the trainer and the owner and the farm manager discuss the route to the Kentucky Derby, how they're going to do it. And so before they even get started on the road to the Kentucky Derby, the three, the trainer, the owner, and the farm manager have to deal with a lot of things. And a lot of the things that they have to deal with are things that you need to start from the get-go and stay consistent with them. And you have to think about a lot of things that these horses need to do. And one of the things on how they get there that we have in here, which we have many of, is the feed. You want to select a company that can provide the complete nutrition for your horse. That if your horse doesn't like it, if your horse is not eating, there's a lot of things that go on to it. And you want to make sure you get with a company that can tell you any and everything about feed and what your horse might need, because they're the experts. They're the one that make it. And so these are the decisions that that our three people have to make. And so once they decide about the feed company, they want to make sure that they can get that feed delivered to them in California, Kentucky, Florida, New York, Illinois, Indiana, Arkansas, Texas. You want to make sure that that product that you're giving your horse is the product that they're going to get whenever they travel to go to different races. And the company that we'll name next week is a company that feeds horses all over the world. So if you've got a horse running in Hong Kong or Japan or Australia or England, this company can provide that feed that your horse is getting right now in England and any foreign country, any racetrack in the world. They can provide that. That's very important to keep the horse on the same feed and not, you know, change his life very much, because he's going to be flying on a plane or in a horse van going to a different track. And that's nerve-wracking in itself for the horse. So we want to try to keep everything the same. And then following the same format, they have to decide on a blacksmith. Who's the blacksmith that can best shoe your horse, that can tell you, you know, why a horse is off, if he's training wrong and his feet are sore. You know, you have to sit down with the blacksmith, and you need to have a blacksmith that can, you know, that can not only tell you what's wrong, but correct what's wrong. And this is another decision that that the farm owner and the owner, the trainer, and the farm manager have to make. And the reason you have to make these decisions with the feed and the blacksmith now is because you want to sit down and say, okay, to the feed company, we're going to be racing on the way to the Derby. We're going to be racing in Arkansas, Louisiana, California, New York, and the Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby. And then that way, if you can give them an idea of what you're doing and where you're going, then they can have everything all set up and ready for you when you get to those tracks. And same thing with the blacksmith. You know, he knows where you're going, and he knows how often your horse is getting shoes, and he can arrange his schedule so that he can be there at the track that your horse is at to, you know, make sure those shoes are right and on the right foot, as they say. So that's important. Then we come to the Derby prep races. And this is probably the most difficult part of how they get there, because you don't know exactly how your horse is going to do, how he's training up to the Derby. And it's really, oh boy, I tell you, it's mind teeth with this. First of all, there's a point system to the Derby. You've got to qualify with points. And they give 10 points for first, 4 for second, 3 for third, 2 for fourth, and 1 for fifth. So the horses, the top 20 horses with the most points qualify for the Kentucky Derby. And you've got to make sure that you're getting your points in and that you can qualify. So there's a series of 37 races on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Believe you me, you don't know where you're going to go. You might go to Arkansas and run into the top 10 horses, and you might go to New York and only run into 3 of the top 10 horses. So you got to really know the schedule that they're on, and you got to follow them close. And you can do that on IEM. You can go to how they get there, and all these segments that I'm talking about now, you know, are on there, and you can click to it and find out, you know, who the blacksmith is, who the feed company is, who the trainer, who the owner is, you know, that type of thing. But to show you how long of a road this is, the first points that you can start to qualify for is on September 17th, 2022. It's the Iroquois Stakes at Churchill Downs. It's a $300,000 race going a mile and a 16th. And for a two-year-old to be going a mile and a 16th in September, that horse has to be pretty doggone good. And you just hope that it's not too taxing on him and that he can recover from it, you know, and continue on to be a good horse. So that's the first one. And the other thing is the Iroquois is at Churchill Downs, and it's always nice to have a race over the Churchill Downs track before you go to the Kentucky Derby the next spring. But that's the Iroquois, starts it all off on September 17th, 2022. Then you go to the Champagne Stakes on October 1st, which is in the Aqueduct in New York. You know, that's usually a good proving ground to see what kind of horse you have. Then we have October 8th, the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, which is a really, really tough race to go to. And if you can come out of that, it's really good. And then October 8th also at Santa Anita. In California, they have the American Pharoah, which is a good race for horses on the West Coast to start seeing who they have and what they have. And then, naturally, the one that everybody really starts saying, hey, these are our top 10 Derby horses that we're going to be looking at, is November, the first weekend in November, we have the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And that Breeders' Cup Juvenile usually turns out the two-year-old horse of the year. And unfortunately for the two-year-old horse of the year, if you get marked with that label, not too often do they do very good in the Derby. There's just one of those things that happens to you. You know, you don't want to be, there's a bullseye on your back and everybody's watching every move. And, you know, it's just one of those things that's really tough for, you know, for the two-year-old juvenile from the Breeders' Cup to go on and win the Kentucky Derby. And then, again, we have another race at Churchill. It's called November 26th. It's called the Kentucky Jockey Club. And so, again, you have an opportunity to get your horse over the track and see what kind of horse he is. A lot of times, not too many of the horses out of the Iroquois, you know, go to that jockey club, the Kentucky Jockey Club stakes race. But that's another race that falls in line. So already we're starting to, you know, get horses that, you know, are starting to look good, but they might not be around next spring for the Derby because, you know, their career started early and they didn't work out. You know, you just really don't know because they're two-year-olds. And usually that's their first start that they have is around September and October. And then they point them for the Breeders' Cup and then the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill Downs. And then it gets crazy after that. December 3rd, we have the Rumps and the Aqueduct. We have a race on December 10th from Los Alamitos Futurity. December 17th from Remington Park, we have the Springboard Mile. December 26th, we have the Gun Runner from the Fairgrounds. And then January 1st, it really gets, you know, gets kind of crazy. The Jerome from Aqueduct really starts it going. And if you got a good horse by the 1st of January, you're limited. You're going to be limited on how many times you can run your horse between then and the Derby. You're looking at probably 3-4 times maybe before the Kentucky Derby because you're only dealing with 5 months. And in 5 months' time, you know, you got to have a horse that that's a talented horse, a horse that can recover from the races that he runs in. And you don't know how tough of a trail it's going to be for you to, you know, to get that horse to Churchill Downs on that first Saturday in May. And it's really tough. But just about every weekend, you know, you've got points available for, you know, the Kentucky Derby. And again, we go back to the owner, trainer, and farm manager. They have to decide what route they're going to take to the Derby. Where can they get the most points? Where can they get, you know, a good race under them? What can you, you know, there's so many things that you got to think about. You got to think about the weather in the area. There's a lot of points that you can get in Arkansas, but you got to remember, it could get cold, rainy. It could be bad, you know, in Arkansas, or it could be good. You can get one of those great springs where, you know, just nothing goes wrong. Or what do you do when you know you're here in Florida and you get a real super hot winter, and you know that takes it out of your horses. Or when you get out in California, the same thing. You know, the weather condition. You know, Aqueduct or Belmont in New York. What's the weather going to be like there? And it's always a tough road to go, and things that you got to think about as an owner, trainer, and farm manager. So that's where you start looking at, and that's when you get through the prep races. After you get through the prep races, and you look down in March or you know in April. Actually, really pretty much you know you just have to decide in April sometimes, because that last 30 days before the Derby is crucial, and you got to have your training program put out. You got to make all your entry fees for the Derby. You got to have all those in line, ready to go. And then you have another meeting with, again, the owner, the trainer, the farm manager, the jockey that's been riding your horse. You got to sit down and you got to seriously discuss whether to run in the Derby or not. Everybody likes to run in the Derby. But I'll never forget, as long as I live, when I worked for Wayne Lucas, he sat down, and one of the hardest things that he had ever had to do, and he had a great, great owner that had good horses. He had to go to the owner and tell the owner, "Mr. Owner, I don't think this horse is good enough to win the Kentucky Derby. There's other stake races, you know, throughout the summer that I think he can win, but not the Kentucky Derby." And he said, "You don't want to run a horse in the Derby just to be running a horse in the Derby." He said, "We only want to run a horse that we can win with the Kentucky Derby, win the Kentucky Derby with." And so, you know, Wayne's won four Kentucky Derbies. And you know, you do the right things. You just don't want to be in there just to run. You want to be in there to win. And that's what most of these trainers do. It's a chance in a lifetime and a lifetime a chance. So, you know, you got to really weigh out the decision to run in the Derby. And then once you get, you know, decide to run in the Derby, there's a lot of things that go on. You got to think about all the owners that, you know, that you're training for. You want to make sure that that they get an invite, even though they don't have a horse running in the Derby. You want to make sure that, you know, you give them a nice invite. You want to make sure that the blacksmith and that the feed people and it's taken care of. You want to make sure that the people that transport your horses to the different tracks, that they're taken care of. There's a lot that goes into it. When you decide to run in the Derby, you got to keep focused on trying to win the Derby, but you also have to get focused on the people that help you get there. And when you know how you get there, then you know who to thank and who to help. And so that, you know, that's going to be a good program. And then the first Saturday in May 2023, we'll find out if the horses we're following, how they did, and, you know, if they're going to be there and go from there with it. But it's an exciting little documentary, a docu-mercial, I call it. It's like an infomercial, but it's more of a documentary than anything that we're going to try to do with that. And so that's a little bit about, you know, about the website that we're on. So that got us through Thursday, how they get there and at the wire. So that got us going there. So I get to start rambling here. And, man, I tell you, if I weren't talking, I'd be asleep right now. I'm telling you. That's what I think about when I start talking. And then on Friday, that's when we post the International Equine Report. And the International Equine Report is a report that we do, and we'll select a famous equestrian, or we'll select an up-and-coming equestrian. And it doesn't matter whether they're a big time or, you know, whether they're small. We have an interesting equestrian of the week on that International Equine Report to let people know that it's just not all the rich and famous and the wealthy that have stories. Our equestrian of the week is interesting, and it's going to be funny to watch some of the people that we have there, because some of these people are crazy, crazy, crazy horse people. And you would be surprised at the people you'll see. We got a guy that we're going to talk to in February, and he has a one-horse trailer. And it's an antique, and he's had it all redone, and it's really a nice trailer for just one horse. And it's got a glass bubble on it so the horse can look around when he's going down the road and see what's going on. And people just, when they see it, they just take pictures of him, and, you know, and it's really interesting. But what he did is he wanted to, you know, show people that how horses traveled years ago. And they would travel local, you know, you're not talking about going to New York or whatever, but these one horse trailers are mostly local, and it's an antique. And I tell you, he's really an interesting guy. We're going to show you how the horse loads onto it, where it was made, the trailer was made, who made it, you know, and see how they go down the road. So that's going to be interesting. But we do things like that on International Equine Report is to let people know what's going on. And like I said, you don't have to be a horseman to watch something like that. Then after you see it, you're going to be looking down the road, because no telling where this guy shows up, you know, when he's going somewhere with his one horse trailer. It's really pretty, pretty cool. But the International Equine Report is going to be things of that nature. Now, we're going to talk about, legislative programs that each state is trying to get passed. We're going to be talking about veterinarian care. We're going to be talking about horse transportation. That's one thing that I think that you'll find interesting, especially on how they get there. And on the International Equine Report, is horses go by van, they go by pull-along trailers. They go by a big 18-wheeler. They fly the horses. They go both domestic and international. And I used to do that with Instone Air Services. I've been to quite a few countries in my day flying horses. And it's quite a process to see how they do, how they fly. And I think you'll be interested to see, you know, what we did with the horses flying, how they're loaded, how we take care of them. It's going to be really interesting, and you're going to see me on there, and it's going to say, that big guy got into that plane, that little box on that plane to take care of that horse. And it's an interesting a way to do it. We go to Hong Kong, go to Japan, Australia, Ireland, England, France. It's really a good thing, you know, to watch. So that'll be on our International Equine Report. And then on Friday, we have a weekly review. And what I like about that is that you can come in and you can see what's going on the weekend, where it's at, what state, country, venue it's at. You click on there, and you can decide if you want to go see something on the weekend, whether it's a horse show, whether it's racing, a sale, or, you know, what have you. You know, we'll have that on there. So that's how we end up, you know, with the week review and preview on there. We'll tell you what happened and what's going to happen on our weekly programming there on Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, we'll have on the website live racing, live horse shows, live everything live. It'll be on the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. So that's what we try to do with that. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting season for us here. I'm still kind of getting you know, a grasp on it. We're getting some announcers and some on-air talent that are going to be joining us that have been with ESPN and NBC and ABC and they're horsemen. A lot of them ride themselves or own horses and, you know, that type of thing. The other thing that we have on our website, we have a segment called Chuck Wagon, and it's for the equestrians that of all breeds. And what we try to do is put recipes and ways to you know, cook while you're at an equestrian event, you know, and making an enjoyable day, so that you don't have to be constantly running out to the restaurant or a drive-through. You can cook them, you know, right where you're at. And so when I thought about, you know, doing the segment called Chuck Wagon, I said, well, gee whiz, I said, what good's that going to do if you got nowhere to cook at? So then we got with Camping World, and Camping World's got campers, and they'll answer any and every question you have about an RV. They'll sell one for you, or they'll sell one to you. They're just phenomenal at Camping World, and they're literally everywhere. And so what we do is we kind of gear the, you know, the Chuck Wagon show towards RV living type thing, you know, barbecuing and slow cookers and, you know, things of that nature. So we try to do that. And again, if you click on to Camping World or Chuck Wagon, you get recipes that are online there with us. You click on to Camping World, and you find any and every kind of RV that you might be looking for there. They're literally everywhere in the country, so that's good. And, you know, so it kind of gets exciting, you know, to see that. And that's like today, we've got on America's Day at the races, we have live racing coming to you from various tracks. Keeneland's coming on now. So you can see Keeneland and what they're doing. So that's good, you know, to be able to watch live racing from, you know, the different tracks that we have there. And then every week or every 2 weeks, I try to put a movie on, a good family movie about the horse industry. You know, it's really kind of interesting to see the documentary that we had on Secretariat, which was really good, about how they bought him, how the owners and the trainers dealt with him, and things like that. And then we have some good movies about rodeos and how about the cowgirls, the young girls that start riding, and then 15, 20 years later, they're world champions, at their discipline. And so we do a lot of things, like that on the website. So that's our movie of the week. We try doing that. And what I'm going to add to the website, we're going to have the Weather Channel. We're adding the Weather Channel to the website. So that if you, no matter where you're going in the world, you just click on the Weather Channel and you can find out the weather at the location that you're going to be going to. You can also find out the weather on the trip that's going to get you there, the journey that gets you to that venue. You'll know if you're leaving Florida and going to New York, if you're going to be running into rain, ice, snow, good weather, what have you. You'll be able to get that through the Weather Channel. And then we also will have on there, the thing that I like about it the most is we're going to have a veterinarian section. If you're traveling and you need to need a horse, you can click on there and give them your zip code that you're in, and they can direct you to, a veterinarian in that area. And so that's all handy when you're going down the road. And then we also are putting on MapQuest. And MapQuest will be able to get you to wherever you're going, tell you all the hotels, tell you all the gas stations, tell you everything that's along the way on your journey to that equine venue. And so that's what I'm kind of trying to do, with it. And hopefully we can start getting the equestrians interacting, with our website. If you can go to IENTV.org, and you can check out our website. You can also email me at ienequinetv@gmail.com. You can also call me at 561-466-1272 and get a hold of me direct. I answer the phone. That's one thing that I do. We have other numbers here that you can call, but what I do is I make sure that I answer the phone, and everybody that comes to the website, I talk to personally and get them in the right direction. And that's one of my goals there that I want to do, is to get to know the people that we have that are viewing, that are, will be helping us, with different things on the website. And if you got an equestrian story to tell, whether you're small, medium, big, or international, let us know. We want to get you on there. Who knows, you might become the farm of the week for us on the website, or the equestrian of the week. And then every Thursday when we have our show, we have a live call-in, which is 823-744-4831. And you can call the people at BBS, Don or Doug, and they'll tell you, click you on to me, and we'll talk horses. We can do that. And then the big question is now, and I'm going to give away a year's membership to Ship.com. Ship.com delivers groceries and food anywhere in the country. And you'll be able to get to them and find out what it is and what they do. We also are going to have Walmart on our website, because Walmart's everywhere, and they got everything you need. You can get it from there. But here's the question of the week. What did I say the most on this show? You got to give me the phrase that I said the most on this show. In previous shows, I said, I'm going to name a horse. That was the phrase that I use on this show a lot. It's a bad habit that I have, but I get caught up in what I'm doing, and I've done this all my life. And so the phrase that I use you let me know. Call next week at 823-744-4831, and we'll give somebody a free membership to ship.com. And so I hope you really like it. I look forward to this coming year, to the Derby and to the polo matches that'll be coming up here this winter here in Florida and out in California and in Spain. We'll be going to Spain to see the polo matches there. We got a lot of good sales coming up. And over the next couple of weeks, this time of year, every year, the Standardbreds are getting ready for the Breeders' Crown. The Thoroughbreds are getting ready for the Breeders' Cup. The polo people getting ready for the America's Cup. You know, there's just so many things, the Quarter Horse Congress. There's so many things that'll be coming up that I think you'll be excited about. And we'll be sure that we get you in the right spot and you'll enjoy yourself. And remember, you don't have to know a lot about horses to come to intv.org. So thanks for putting up with me. I rambled on enough now. Look forward to hearing from the potential winner next week for that ship.com membership. It's a year membership, and I think you'll like it. So until next Thursday, this is Scott Miller at the International Equine Network.